At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is up, Eagles fans? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. You can follow me on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod, and do the same for my faithful, now multiple co-hosts, starting with the OG, Stephen Conrad Jr. You can follow him on all social media platforms. You would be mightily entertained if you did so. So I recommend doing that, especially with Sixer season on the horizon. If Paul George goes 0-for-8 that first game, you will be hearing Stephen. So be sure to go ahead to Twitter and follow him. My other co-host, you can follow him at RyanConway76 at Twitter.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Fuck yeah. RyanConway76 at Twitter. Be sure to go follow him. You can catch all his writing at thelibertyline.com as well. He has an interesting article coming up about Jason Kelsey's private parts. So you can go ahead and check that out.
I just tweeted it during that intro.
Hell yeah. And then you have something coming up on the bakery that closed down. RIP, RIP, yeah. Conchi Bakery.
RIP, dude.
Had them. That's who 4th and John does like the tomato pies and all with. So I'll be intrigued to see what they're going to do moving forward. But RIP, Conchi Bakery. We will be, they're closing shop, retiring. Happy lives. We'll be writing about that as well. Conway, the food connoisseur, the arbiter of truth and justice. All things food on the Liberty Line.
That's the first time someone has ever called me that. I've only ever called myself that.
I know. So that's, it's a milestone.
I'll take that.
Self-proclaimed. Now sure. Victor. Now Vic proclaimed. Fuck it. This is where we're at. On today's episode,
stamp of approval.
Of Philly Pop, we'll be talking about the return of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown to the Eagles offense. Much needed. We'll be talking about a certain replacement for Avante Maddox, who has been getting chewed out in the slot this season, as well as some key matchups coming up for the Eagles versus Cleveland Browns Week 6 matchup. Already Week 6, guys. Steven, obviously, we talked through all the offseason, everything. We were so excited for the season. It is Week 6 already. It is quite hard to believe that we are like a third of the way through the year already. Crazy. Boys, how was your bye weeks? I know, Conway, you mentioned golfing. Get any golfing done?
Yeah, absolutely. Got some golfing done. You know, obviously watched the Phillies suck. So game one was tough.
Yeah.
Went out drinking way too late. Got up early, played golf the next day. Showed up 5 minutes before my tee time and honestly played pretty well. But then
pretty well hungover.
Yeah, no, that's been my signature ever since I was playing in college. I would show up to those hungover. I figured why not keep it going?
But and leave hungover.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Johnny Manziel of golf, essentially.
Yeah.
Didn't watch film, didn't prepare, just showed up, fought out.
very rarely practiced
to swing. How's your golf swing though? Is it like aesthetically pleasing?
Butter, dude.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll have to
I've never
swung
a club other than Topgolf. My white friends, that sounds a little racist, but it's not. My white friends.
What's up with that?
My white friends have been trying to get me to golf for a long time. Well, not you. You don't classify as white, Steven. You're like skin complexion white. Personality isn't really.
Well, that explains
really
a lot.
In regards to what? What does that explain?
I mean, you could look at it in a lot of ways, but go ahead. You were telling a story.
My white friends all want me to golf, and I'm just like, I don't know, it's expensive, and like, you just like, they're like, yeah, it's just a reason to drink and get out, and I'm like, yeah, but like, I play pickleball now, dude. That's my extracurricular. No. That's my, you know what my black friends want to do all the time?
What?
Play basketball. What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. I had like 8 answers loaded and none of them.
For the new listeners, I'm biracial, by the way. Half black, half white. This is why I classify as my white friends and my black friends. This is why I have 2 personalities. Actually, I have 3. I have the Philly pop personality. I have my white personality. And I have my black personality.
You have a white personality?
Not really, actually. Now that you I was going to say it out loud.
I just feel like you're kind of the same guy. You're just a very authentic individual.
I don't know.
I'm trying to split myself up in horcruxes. Shout out Harry Potter fan. I'm trying to split my soul into 7 different parts.
Well, Steven, there's the white version of it.
Yeah, Harry Potter playing. I bought Dragon Ball Z. I bought Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. The Ultimate Edition got the 3-day early access, so that's as white as it gets right there.
I actually think Dragon Ball Z leans black. I personally think.
It leans black anime. Black anime. When you say black anime, I know you think of the hairstyle. Of what black anime is. Yeah, we've all had those black friends in high school. Yeah. Steven, what'd you do over the bye week?
Honestly, like Conway, a lot of drinking and
This is the most we don't like see each other in person is during the bye week. Now that I think about it. When was the last time I saw you? New Orleans, right? It had to be.
New Orleans.
Damn. Well, Conway, I see you like 4 times a year in person.
Yeah, that's true. I see Steve every damn day now.
Poor
guy.
Damn, poor soul.
Well, I could say the other way around, honestly, at this point. Poor soul.
So you got us a drinking done. My bad. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Right, and a lot of losing. I mean, yeah, aside from the Phillies, I'm trying to think what happened. I mean, honestly, the Eagles may as well have lost and they didn't even play. And my Vols lost to Arkansas. And Drew Smith, 50% owner of the Liberty Line, made fun of me about it and called my entire row a bunch of losers at work. So, yeah, I guess I'm a loser.
Other Vols fans, or is it like just...
No, just...
Why'd he call out the whole row?
Well, for some context, I'm in that row. Conway's in that row, although he's
a loser row. That's a loser row.
There's some Colorado, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Get some Buffs fans.
That's a loser row right there. Idiots, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, but, it's my fault that the Phillies lost because I didn't dance after.
It was really bad vibes after you didn't dance. So.
Yeah.
That's to be.
Yeah, you're right. I made Bryce Harper swing at a sweeper fucking 10 feet off the plate.
I'm not buying that. Conway's getting blamed for it, but I'm not buying that. You want to know why?
Please.
Because if I'm not mistaken... Yeah, the dancing videos were great, but at the end of the day, we lost last year when you did them. And same with the song. The same thing with the song. The like something like has dead. To change now.
So here's the thing. This is the comparison I've seen up and down Twitter. If they lose this series, which they did to the Mets, are they now in the same category as the Sixers? This argument pisses Steven off to no end. So are they now the Sixers or how does this work?
They're their own thing. They're more like...
They've had more success than the Sixers as far as the Phillies.
That's the thing.
That's why the comparison didn't make sense to me.
This is the same. We're following the same trajectory after 2008 when we won the World Series. After they won the World Series in 08, they made the World Series in 09, NLCS, NLDS, and then out of the playoffs. So now that there's an extra wild card spot, maybe we can break that cycle, but... we're doing the exact same thing that we did previously, only this time I don't think we're in as big a trouble in terms of the way the roster's put together.
I'm looking kind of good in this sweater right now. Like my sweater.
Yeah, you're looking fly.
I'm looking myself in the camera.
You know who's not looking fly, dude? Alec Boehm. Fucking loser. You know what? This is
you know who I can blame for that?
Actually, yeah, holy hell, man.
We're not getting it. Steven, nice old smoky tee. Shout out to the Nashville trip. I know you feel good when you put that on. I know when it's you like, ask it.
Rocky top.
Hell yeah. Rocky top. Go Vols. All right. On to the Eagles, I suppose. We have a Week 6 matchup against the Cleveland Browns coming up. Pretty much a must win. Not so much for the record, but more so like if they lose to this team, it is going to be a horrendous look and some decisions might have to be made. We'll get into all that later. But starting with good news, the Eagles do expect to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, as well as Lane Johnson back in the lineup for this game. A.J. Brown has been out since missing practice in Week 2, hasn't played since Week 1. Devontae has been out since getting nailed in the back of the head by Christian Boyd when we were all in New Orleans, witnessed it in person. Very bad hit. He is still in concussion protocol, as far as I know, but expects to clear this week. Should have him available for Sunday. Lane Johnson was very close to playing against Tampa, but didn't clear the last hurdle necessary. I think he had to do like a practice, a physical practice you have to participate in. He wasn't able to, so he missed that game. But all three of those players practiced in full leading up to this point. It is now Thursday night, 9:30. So they both participate in practice all week. All should be available, and it is couldn't come at a better time. I don't need to see Paris Campbell WR1 anymore. We don't need to like pray to God that Jahan Dotson remembers how to play football. We have our two WR1s back in the offense, and I know the two of you couldn't be happier because it's been a rough go. We speak like 2-2 is like the worst, but as far as like the expectations and the aspirations for the season went, you didn't want to stumble to 2-2. So I think having these receivers available and coming out of the bye week and basically starting a new season on Sunday against the Browns, I think can be a good start to get us back on track here.
We sure yeah, I mean, this so, is right? the Go most, ahead, Conway.
This is the most losses we've had through four two? Games in the two? Last in the last three seasons, I guess, yeah, right?
Because 2 years
that's a good previously,
point.
We'd opened up like 9-1, 10-1, yeah. Something like that. So this is, I mean, this is it's the most losses we've had to start the season the last 3 years. So it's and not only that, it's just the on-field product has been rough.
Abysmal,
to say the least. So it's nice to be seeing our three best offensive players come back.
Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson.
So we're taking this rough product into the dog pound on Sunday. Sorry.
What do you like? Is like as far as not the same product, not with AJ Devontae in the mix.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
the rough product was tied to them.
Let's hope.
Well, you're saying if we have them in the offense and we still suck, that's an even bigger issue.
I mean, we shouldn't
then the
suck,
season's over.
But
the discussion leading up to this was, can Jalen Hurts operate without his top receivers? Like, great quarterbacks lift everybody up. Jalen Hurts hasn't been able to do so.
I want to see if he can operate with them.
I would like to see them just get points with their players.
I'm just going to say it now. We got to dive into this. We are wasting a lot of time. It's an Eagles podcast. But,
what you mean?
But if there's anything this bye week has, I don't even want to say taught me. I should have just let off with this.
This dude did some self-reflection.
I'm pissed off at Jalen Hurts being number one in turnovers since the start of last season. It's just too much, and he's got 7 through 4 weeks right now. Look, great quotes in these press conferences from everybody. Oh, it's cute. Him and Sirianni are getting along.
Hell yeah.
All right, man.
Hell yeah. Great moments.
If we don't see any signs of hope this Sunday, like, I'm sorry, this is the biggest game of the year this Sunday. I'll just say it right now. This is an Elliott Shore Parks moment, or whichever WIP host always says this is the biggest
must win.
Game
I
of the year.
I said this is close to a must win.
It's more than a must win. This is like a must dominate. Like, you have to show me something. The Browns suck. Deshaun Watson sucks. Like, you have to show me something. We're coming off the bye. We're healthy. Pretty simple, right? Right, guys? Like, pretty straightforward.
Yep.
You would
what
think.
The mindset is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You're looking to destroy the Browns this week, and
I need
part
a
of me
not to eke it out, not a squick, not a last second field goal. I need you to demolish the Browns.
I need a 2017 against the Broncos full.
Yeah, we need a win like that.
Defense like doing the full line dance, going side after like the fourth turnover of the game. Vic, you shared another one of our blowouts from that. From that year, the
Cardinals,
other day.
Yeah, the Cardinals,
yeah, against the Cardinals. I need a win like that, especially you know we're getting our top guys back into the mix to hopefully provide some offense and actually allow Jalen Hurts to throw to somebody who isn't not. Paris I don't want to say Paris Campbell's terrible, but he's not AJ Brown and he's
not wide receiver one on any team he's ever been on.
Mm-hmm. He's not a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, so.
Yeah.
That's just not, you know, that's not a knock on him. It's just the situation at hand. So, yeah, hoping to see them blow them out. And here's the thing. If we were going into it without these changes on defense that I know we're going to get to, without getting these guys back, I would be worried that this would be the time for Deshaun Watson to turn his career around. But hopefully this is not the
this is not the week.
This is not the week to do that.
Not the week when the Phillies looking the way that no.
If he does, I'm going to be a full-fledged Sixers fan.
I'll turn into the Joker. I'll turn completely. Yeah.
And Conway's halfway there. It's a joker anyway, from his own life, let alone without sports.
Dude, that's I don't need sports at all to drive me fucking insane. So the fact that
that has to be it, right? That's like the nail in the coffin at this point. If that happens, right, guys? Like, this is such a huge game. I don't care what anybody says.
They're at home, out of the bye week,
and fan base.
This is the get right game.
I think it was since the Super Bowl, or I want to say. Since the World Series loss, like, the timeline has been just, I mean, we don't have to go through it, but, here we are. Our attention has turned to this goddamn football team again after that Phillies loss, and it's a huge game, man. I can't stress it enough. It feels another like reason. A playoff game.
Ah, I ain't going that far, but it's fucking October. Red October, my ass. Red October lasted a week.
October is the most important. Single week. Important month of the year
for football,
for sports.
It's November. Oh, for sports, yes. So as far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned, they have an extensive injury report. I'm going to list off their entire injury report. It might take 5 minutes to be honest how long this injury report is. Running back Nick Chubb, who started the year on the PUP list, he was limited, knee injury. Tackle Jack Conklin, hamstring, limited. Starting wide receiver Amari Cooper was a full participant, but he's like trade rumors, so they might. He's in trade rumors, so we'll see how far he's going to go with that. Safety Grant Delpit did not practice with a concussion. Miles Garrett limited with an Achilles. Linebacker Jordan Hicks, former Eagle. Jordan Hicks limited with elbows and tricep issues. David Njoku limited knee and ankle. Jerry Jeudy was a full participant, but he's dealing with a knee injury. And some other guys were full dealing with under injury. Starting cornerback Denzel Ward did not practice, hamstring injury. Backup running back Pierre Strong, limited, hamstring injury. So a lot of players that are either not going to be available or are going to be banged up heading into this game. But we said that about Tampa last week. They had a whole bunch of banged up players and it didn't faze them, or 2 weeks ago rather. So the Browns are not only terrible, they average a league low like 180 yards per 180 passing yards per game. Deshaun Watson has been sacked 26 times. That leads the league, minus just being a bad human being altogether. So that offense is not doing a lot of things. The body language isn't good over there. The words coming out of Cleveland in general isn't good. The Eagles have no reason to really lose this game other than it's just a disjointed operation all around. Like, you could give the effort that you gave towards Tampa Bay and still win this game. That's how bad the Browns are. But we'll have to see if I think the biggest matchup for me in this will be Jordan Mailata against Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett is obviously a game wrecker on defense, and I think that he's kind of the one guy you have to circle to say he could make it a little difficult for us if we're not paying attention to him. So that's kind of the first matchup I'm eyeing up as far as offense versus defense is concerned.
I'll be honest with you with that matchup. Look, will Miles Garrett maybe get his once or twice? Yes, but with how bad the Browns truly are in every aspect,
I can't put into words how bad they are.
Yeah, like they are so bad, like historically bad. I knew that Watson was getting sacked a lot. I didn't realize it was that
26 times in five games he's been
26
sacked.
Times in five games. I mean, that's an average of five and change a game. That's,
can we be honest? Insane. A lot of that is him too,
of course. But
again, yeah, like,
yeah, but that's even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly,
yeah.
Like the O-line's already not great, and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to do you guys zero favors. I'm going to run around and hold on to the ball like a complete moron. So I'm not too concerned about winning in the trenches on this one. Even with Miles Garrett, I know Miles Garrett's incredible, but even so, I'm not too concerned about it. As long, now that we're back to full strength with especially our receiving threats, having those two guys back completely changes everything. If we were going into this game without them, I'd be like, Miles Garrett might single-handedly end our season. Like,
yep. The Browns are averaging the third fewest passing yards a game with 142.8. The only two teams that have fewer is the Chargers with the banged up Justin Herbert and the Patriots, who just switched to Drake May as starter this week. So if you are getting diced up by an offense that is not even averaging 150 passing yards per game,
well, I'll tell you this. I mean,
some conversations will be had. some conversations will be had.
They're going to get the Fangio tax returns because, you know, Fangio tends to give up a lot of – his defenses tend to give, you know, give up a lot of passing yards. So, naturally, I think they're going to pass for a little bit more. No, that's a real thing. Can we be honest?
Yeah. No, 100%.
It is. That's why I said it.
Yeah. I'm terrified that you said that.
It's real, dude, because they may, every other defense is making them pay all season long, and then Vic Fangio's like, yo, here's your little tax refund here.
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
Your, here's a little
We're going to make you feel good about yourself
rebate.
A little bit.
Gonna
make
no,
you
feel good
I will say, I wonder, so Fangio was with the Dolphins last year. I wonder what the matchup is like between Fangio and Kevin Stefanski. You know what I mean? I wonder if the Fangio defense actually works against – I mean, I guess if Watson's your quarterback, I mean, you would think we would bode pretty well. But again, would not be shocked if Watson puts up a little 250-plus pass yards on us.
If I ask you guys...
I might take the over on whatever his... I might hammer the Browns' offensive overs just because of that fact.
The Browns have yet to score 20 points in a single game this year.
Except points. I'll go yards.
They rank 30th.
Yeah.
30th in the points, NFL no. with 15.8 points per game. And they're the only team, again, to go against your yards thing here, they're the only team in the NFL to have not gained a total of 300 yards this season. In total, not just passing. Total yards.
They, total
have,
yards
not eclipsed, they have not eclipsed 300 yards this season in any game.
I think we go... I mean... What that was a averaging right around 150 yards passing,
142 passing yards,
142 over under on that. If we set the line at 142.5, where do we go? Do we go over under in this game?
I'll say over just because of garbage time yards at the end.
I go over because Fangio's defense plays like we have a 30 point lead.
They do play like we have
snap.
A 20 point cushion,
yeah,
dude,
in the first quarter for no reason.
Oh.
And that's yeah. Now, I mean, with you know, little adjustments on defense, I know this isn't really going to be the offense that to go up against for us to really go, oh wow, this was the perfect adjustment.
Yeah, exactly. It could be another one of those.
But hey, to counter that on defense, we got help on the way on defense, not in pass rushing, on the defensive line, not in that. In the
this
slots.
Is actually a good sign because the Browns want to run the football too, I'd imagine, by the way, which is where – go ahead.
With Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong, who's banged up, and Nick Chubb, who may or may not play.
Well, you know.
But I'm not scared of Jerome Ford on the ground. But, hey, Eagles have finally decided to make a change in the slot. They watched enough of Avante Maddox, as we all have. They watched enough of him for years, to be honest. And he was good early in his career, but all those – he plays physical. All those tackles add up. All those hits add up. And he's a shell of himself this season. He's getting picked apart in the slot. And Vic Fangio said earlier in the week that Cooper DeJean is closed, quote unquote, closing in on starting at nickel. And it sounds like this will be the week. If he not only sees an uptick in snaps, he will start in the slot in this game. And I'm intrigued to see because he's versatile. They can move him around. And I for sure he'll give you more effort like Vontae did not against Chris Godwin when he closed his eyes and dove for the ground and opened them and were shocked to not see Chris Godwin there. DeJean,
I thought
least...
I erased that from my memory, man.
Did,
it's been a long
like Conway word. Said last episode, DeJean will at least make contact on these players. So I'm intrigued to see what he's going to do in the slot. Starting with you, Conway, your expectations and excitement level for seeing Cooper DeJean get a starting role in this defense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him hit somebody instead of him being hit by his own teammates this week.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So that I'm very much looking forward to. But yeah, I mean, we drafted the kid for a reason. We didn't, you know, use a higher
projected first round pick, by the way. Projected first round.
Yeah, we didn't use, you know, a draft pick on him just to let him ride the bench and chill and hope for the best. We drafted him to play, and I think it was good. See what you have in Maddox. Because he had been really good for us before.
We knew what we had. See what he has left, more like it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that exactly right. No, exactly what's left in the tank. And obviously it wasn't much, which is a bummer because I do feel bad because, you know, he had some great plays for us, had some great seasons that were ended by also friendly fire. It's just an insane thing to have that continues to happen. But with DeJean coming in, he just brings a new dynamic and a new level of effort and intensity to the defense that we are really lacking, especially at the corner position. So especially either in the run game or really anywhere that he's going to line up, he's going to come out there. And if he's got a ball carrier in front of him, that guy's going to get hit. It's plain and simple. So it's that, and then also the fact that we've got two white defensive backs on the same on the field. Oh, at the same time.
Secondary is lit. That's insane. What's the nickname we landed on? It can't be the Ku Klux Klamps. I don't think Klux Klamps
is insane.
It tops the list, but that's like morally unacceptable. So
that's reprehensible.
I'm going. We made the Milkman shirt. We have that. We have secondary. Second hyphen dairy, as in like milk products.
You know. Secondary. Wow.
What else did we land on? The Milky Way. That's the one I landed on.
The Milky Way.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. So yeah, I think it'll be fun to have two white guys. Steven, as the resident white guy of this episode, your thoughts on Cooper DeJean starting in the slot? Probably.
I just want to make clear, I'm also white.
Yes, sorry. Steven, in your mind, probably a few games too late, but I'm sure you're excited nonetheless.
I mean, look, I get it. I mean, he had that injury in training camp. A few games too late. I'll tell you this, though. I was just thinking about this just now as you guys were talking about Maddox. Obviously, you know, for the most part, when it's all said and done, people look back on Maddox's tenure here generally in a positive light. I mean, you know, when he was healthy and in his prime,
he's one of the top nickel corners in the league. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a point in time when he wasn't talking about Fortnite to the other team's best wide receiver when you're in the midst of battle in 112 degrees or whatever the case may be. A team that's beat you several times, a team that's ended your season twice in the last 3 or 4 years. I'm excited because Cooper DeJean will not be doing that. I'm excited for another young player like Quinyon Mitchell to go out there in that secondary. And look, Darius Slay called a stray from me last podcast. I'm not going to go there again.
That was not a stray. You took aim.
A stray is like it was unwarranted. I think it was warranted.
That was a bullet to the back of the head from point blank range.
Do you feel bad about it? Do you feel bad about it now?
I don't feel bad about it, but I've kind of thought about this, and it's kind of just like human nature because it's easy for me to sit here and say these things. But if I was a veteran in the NFL making probably on my second or third big contract, I would probably be the same way at that point, you would have to think. So I get it as a human. Obviously, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, sure, they got their rookie contracts, but come on. They're living out their dream right now. They still have to prove, one, that they can be a pro, but also be a good, maybe Pro Bowl talent, and, you know, have a long career that leads to even better paydays than the one that they're having right now. You know, that's just kind of where I'm at. Again, Darius Slay obviously deserved that, but it kind of just put things into perspective for me. And it's also a terrible mix here in Philadelphia to have guys like that, for what it's worth.
I think it'll be good for the two of them to kind of come up together, DeJean and Quinyon, obviously drafted together, and to be able to come up together. Quinyon has already looked the part of the first-round pedigree that he deserved, and I'm sure Cooper DeJean will come in here and show why he was projected as a first-round pick as well, so I'm excited to see that. Another piece that could be making a return, Sidney Brown was a full participant. He was activated. He had his practice window
activated.
See,
now we're talking. Now we're talking.
I don't know if he'll play this week, but he was a full participant in practice. Maybe they'll give him another week to get up to speed or not. But talk about a piece that you can plug anywhere. If Angie will have a field day with Sidney Brown, he's talked about Sidney Brown since the day he came here, about the things he can do and where he can place him in the box, line up at safety, line up in nickel, whatever the case is, put him on the edge, have him blitz. You can do a lot of fun things with Sidney Brown. And I think
Fangio is going to use a blitzer?
My point is that I think it's so interesting that they have him activated now on the heels of releasing Devin White. I think that Fangio was like, oh, with Sidney Brown coming back, we certainly will never play Devin White.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And it's just the whole. I'm curious about your guys' read on the Devin White situation, because they tried to trade him since camp, essentially since August.
They couldn't find a trade partner. Speak for both of us. I don't know.
I
don't know. I thought he was winning the battle in training camp the whole summer. Everybody
he started
like,
the whole
Devin
summer.
Devin White looks
he
great.
Started the whole
he
summer
alongside.
Whoa. They didn't say that. They said that he's done nothing spectacular, but he hasn't looked bad.
Whatever. That's I thought case. We were getting our modern version of Nigel Bradham. Let's be honest. The last time he was on a quality of life. That's what I'm
saying. That's what Zach Bond is.
Zach Bond is the closest thing I've seen to Nigel Bradham. So
I can't confirm, but he started alongside Zach Bond the entire summer.
Leading
had first
the
team,
team
reps
tackles.
Up until the injury.
That good?
Up until the
Bond
injury.
Might be better.
Hey, Alex Singleton led this team in tackles 1 year. So that tells you that.
Oh my God.
So that tells you that. But shout out.
What about Nate Gary or Jerry Gary, whatever his name is.
It's Nate Gary. Nathan Gary. Shout out to Nathan Gary. He was facing the complete wrong direction on defense at one point in time. But Bond and Devin White started alongside each other throughout all of summer. And then next thing you know, Devin White gets hurt, and then N'Kobe Dean's in there. And now it's like, oh, Dean beat out Devin White for the job. So I don't know what – every person I tried to get information from out of this situation has been speaking super ominous about it. They're just like, yeah, well, you know, he got beat out. Like, there's more to the story that I'm sure we'll find out one day. But I haven't heard of any visits Devin White has had since being released with any teams. So we'll see what happens of that. Just a very
it's just
strange
he wasn't flying with the team like the
yeah,
games
it's very
and stuff.
Strange
like
thing.
What happened?
He's like retweeting stuff during games and like tweeting, and it's the whole
weird,
thing.
One of the weirdest situations I've seen from a player on an active
Adam
Ted on list. A roster.
Add him to the list of players who never played a snap for
you know
us.
What, can
along
I just
with
say
Frank
something?
Gore,
who make else? The highlight
yeah,
reel.
Yeah, no, go
make
ahead.
Devin
That's
White.
A great
Thank
list.
You, Tate.
Who else is on the list?
Cass, get on it. Get on it.
Frank Gore. Yeah, we need Cass to make that video. Who else is on the list of Eagles who have never played a game that got signed? Oh, who is the Mike Wallace, right? Mike Wallace? He got signed
yeah,
and never played a game
for us. Yeah, I guess he was hurt
that
whole year. Oh, yeah,
he
was
got
the
hurt that whole summer.
Placement.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Signed Mike Wallace, and then he never played. Who's the other guy? Marcus Goodwin. Signed, never played.
Oh, yeah, that's
COVID,
right.
COVID
that's a
year,
good one.
COVID year. I remember I was like, we got the track stars, we got Quez, we got Rager, we got Marcus Goodwin. Thank God we never had to see those three play.
We literally had an offseason where we just went after 40 times is all we did.
Because Wentz had nobody with speed. We were trying to get speed for Wentz at the time, and then they got it, and we're like, oh my God, these guys are going to burn everybody off the field. And then, yeah, John Hightower, too, who ran a sub 4.4. That was
Jalen Rager was never fast. Is what I've
he ran like a four. He ran a sub 4.4 at the combine.
That was, yeah, but he like didn't though. It was
he's
weird.
40 fast,
like,
not game
it
fast.
It was deep state. It was perpetuated by the Clinton family. It was.
Well, wait,
it was
he had good
real.
Game speed
his...
though. Correct? Is that why?
No,
like there had to
no,
have been
no.
a reason.
He had 40 speed, but not good game.
I'm talking about his neat. Top speed in college, like in TCU.
Yes, he was very good at TCU.
Everyone looks faster than the Big 12.
He looked like prime Debo.
That's
in,
what
in
I've
TCU,
determined.
Which was
there's
which was...
the Big 12 exists in a vacuum. Where everybody looks faster. The same way with the Pac-12, people look like they're good at a sport, and then they turn out to be bad. Markelle Fultz, Matisse Thybulle.
Whoa, Markelle Fultz is a serviceable basketball player.
Andre Dillard.
Yeah,
Markelle Fultz is
oh,
on
he's
Markelle
right.
Fultz,
Andre
Fultz is
fucking
on
Dillard.
Roster.
Yo, we got to stop drafting players from that school. Howie has to stop.
Dude, I've been he saying Pac-12, stay away from it. Fucking Nelson Aguilar. Enough, granted, Super
whoa,
Bowl year,
whoa.
He was electric. Whoa. But
2017.
Right.
Dude, 2017.
That's a first
dude,
round
was
pick.
Fucking 7 years ago. That was 7 years ago. I wasn't even old enough to drink.
Yeah. That was a
not
long
even
time.
Close.
That was a long time ago.
And now we're still talking about it on a preview
RIP,
episode.
RIP Devin White's Eagles
this
tenure.
Weekend.
RIP Devin yeah. White's Eagles tenure. Hardly knew you. I wanted to know you. Didn't get to know you.
I was like really excited.
He was
a
consummate pro, though.
Team.
Not for nothing. He was real professional. Stoked? Yeah, I was excited to see that. I wanted to see Pro
was
Bowl.
Was he
Devin
a consummate
White.
Pro?
Yeah, he was like, Levante I mean, not that, David but like in the locker room, he didn't stir up issues. Like he took the James Bradbury route. Yeah, I sucked. I'm here now.
Are you now sure? I'm benched. Do we now know benched. That?
Yeah. I mean, every time reporter spoke to him, he spoke. He didn't. He wasn't speaking out of turn.
Well, yeah. But I mean, in turn, I mean, like you said, everyone speaks.
You think
so
behind the scenes, he was talking shit
it.
Like, fuck. Like, I don't think he was doing that.
He's like, yo, fuck Victor Williams. I hate that guy.
Yeah, fuck Vic Fangio. If you want to fuck a Vic, it's Vic Fangio. That's the one you're going to do.
That's brutal.
Another key matchup will be Jalen Hurts versus his own turnovers, I think.
That's a huge matchup.
Got it circled. What do you guys think is the turnover turnover margin with the Eagles right now?
Oh, turnover margin on the year so far?
On the year so far.
It's got to be minus...
How many turnovers does Jalen Hurts have? And then just minus one.
Minus six. They are minus
six.
Oh,
my God. I had that in my... I was about to say it. I swear.
Minus six turnovers. And they are somehow 2-2. They have been... Yeah. I think I said this on the last pod. They have lost a turnover margin in every game, or at least tied it. And they are somehow 2-2. Hurts needs to be better protecting the ball. We did this whole song and dance on the last episode. We don't need to do it again. But we need to... very much see Jalen Hurts not turn the ball over in this game. I think
it's just frustrating. If you combine even his first year as a starter with 2022, how many turnovers did he have? Any idea? Because he only threw like seven picks in 2022. Let me see.
It was rough. It was whatever. The product we're getting now is not the product is going to get us back to the
nine interceptions in 2021.
Under 10. As long as you're under 10, that's like elite status.
He started, I think he started, I want to say almost all the games in 2021. You know, I mean, look, he had 15 picks in 2023.
Yeah. Last year.
Not great. Not great. But
not great
was,
at all.
Is it really what? He has seven turnovers, and then what? We had the one turnover. At the end
you have
of the
one takeaway,
game?
seven turnovers, and then right. We have one takeaway in the Saints game. Correct? No, Reed has two picks this year. Reed has two picks this year.
He has two.
He has two.
What was the other one?
He sealed. He had
Jordan
the one.
Love.
Yeah, and then the Saints game.
Oh shit!
Oh,
you're right.
Damn.
All he does is pick off the Packers. All he does is pick off the Packers. Huh. Oh yeah. One more key matchup before I get into the narrative. Heading into this game, Saquon Barkley against the Browns rushing defense. The Browns rank 25th in rushing yards allowed. They give up 140 yards per contest. Granted, you have your passing weapons back, but if you are going to have a Saquon Barkley game, it should honestly be every game. But this is a game that Saquon should be able to do whatever he wants against that defense, as long as you stay away from Myles Garrett. So big things expected from Saquon, even if he is downfield. Steven, I know you're upset that we were talking off the pod the other day about Jalen Hurts just completely missing Saquon downfield. I told you he didn't see him. He just threw the ball out of bounds. You thought he tried to throw it to Saquon. You never saw him. But if Saquon is downfield, I'm
how
sure
do you not see him?
Here we go. I'm sure you'll be happy if he hits him downfield.
No, for real, though.
You just didn't see
him.
He was just running out of bounds.
I think he's lying. I think he lied because that ball was so bad.
I think he just literally threw it out of bounds. I think he threw it away.
That was a sad throw. There was no emphasis on that.
Yeah,
that's what you do when
you're running to the side and being chased. You just toss it out of bounds. Live to see the next down. Yeah, he was not aiming towards Saquon Barkley whatsoever. I had a parlay that week that would have cashed if Saquon scored. He did not. I'm upset about it as well. But yeah, expecting.
I think I'm turning into a hater now. I can't believe what's
turning
happening.
Into. You've been one for months.
Yeah, you are. You are.
What you
a
mean turning into
hater, dude?
What do you mean? I was the one sporting the only guy in this group, the only man in this group that was sporting a Jalen Hurts jersey in New Orleans.
I was wearing
frauds.
I was wearing Saquon.
Yeah, that's cute. He just joined the team.
Oh,
what were you wearing, Conway?
I'm sorry. I can't represent Eagles legend Brian Dawkins.
I'm not allowed to do that.
Come on. No, I'm just standing my ground over here. You guys said I've been a hater for months. I don't know where that came from.
Come on, man.
Yeah, dude. Well, I have a Carson Wentz jersey in my closet, so let's see how that fares for you.
Do you still have yours?
I still have mine too.
Remember when you ripped the fat head off the wall? The Wentz fat head used to have.
That was a tough day, man.
The day he got traded, he just ripped it straight off the wall.
You can buy like a replacement nameplate. I've been meaning to get an AJ Brown. Put it because
you
just can't wear Carson Wentz. You just
no,
can't
you
wear.
Can.
It.
Oh no!
I'm surprised
can.
I saw some even at the Wentz at the Saints games. I saw some.
You see him. You see him places, man. It's crazy.
I mean, I get it. We're like in a bad economical state right now. The country.
If I ever see a JJ Arcega Whiteside jersey, I will.
Those are going to be turned into Josh Sweat jerseys.
I will call child services.
Those are going to be turned into Josh Sweat jerseys because
no,
does,
they won't.
Because he does so much. Because he does so
look,
much.
Man. This is a weird Eagles year. Like I knew going into it, it wasn't going to be all sunshine.
That's what
and
you
rainbows.
Thought.
That's I knew. I
thought it was going to be growing pains, but I was very much expecting us to dominate.
I was expecting us to be better than we've been. But granted, I wasn't also expecting to lose Lane Johnson, to lose Devontae Smith, to lose AJ Brown.
So you would have thought like 3-1 after four
I was
games.
Thinking probably three. No, I was probably thinking 4-0. But
yeah, honestly, nobody saw also, the NFC South, you know, being
the Bucks
what they
are good. Here's the thing. I would have expected us to beat the Falcons. The Bucks, I would have expected us to beat as well. And yeah, the Saints and the Packers, I probably
if any of those games did, I had us losing, I had the Packers game.
You had us losing the Packers game?
If you would have showed me the first four games and said which one, if they're going to lose any of them, what's it going to be? I would have said the Packers. Certainly not Saints. Certainly not the Buccaneers. Certainly
yeah,
not.
Yeah,
I would have
had to lose one. If they had,
I would have said, yeah, they lose week one against the Packers. Yeah.
Going down to Brazil, nonsense.
Yeah, but this is the point, though. You didn't, even with these expectations that you had, you didn't see this coming.
After last week's Bucks and Atlanta game, I feel a little
I mean,
better.
Anybody's season can be...
see those offenses last week? I feel a little better the way the Eagles performed.
Well, look, 100%.
They might have lost to two NFC contenders, dude. The way they play.
That's the thing. The fact that we as Eagles fans are taking solace... yeah. And the people that have beaten us playing well.
In fact, Kirk diced up the Bucks defense.
Mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kirk such diced up that mentality. Defense. Kirk Cousins diced up that Bucks defense, and Hurts could barely get the completion.
Big Kirko went nuts in primetime.
Yeah, Kirk Coupons is at it again. All right, on to the last point I want to make for this. Nick Sirianni's been a hot topic as of dating back to last season and the way the year ended, and much has been made about the relationship between Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And now Hurts is saying we've had great moments, and they're saying it's all kumbaya now. We love each other. Everything's great. We come out of the bye with newfound cohesion. All great. But if the Eagles lose to this Browns team, take into effect that Robert Saleh just got fired out of the blue, and they asked Sirianni following the firing, hey, does this make you kind of look back on your job security a little bit? He said, nah, I ain't worried. He didn't say it like that, but he said, "No, I'm not. I'm thinking about the game, not this." But he didn't seem concerned. So my question to you guys, starting with you, Steve, if Sirianni loses this game by two scores, is it Sirianni's last day coaching the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, you have to fire him if that happens. Because here's the thing. He's just a CEO coach. So, like, the coordinators are in place at the end of the day. It was Kellen Moore's offense at the end of the day.
Let's move on.
We think. I don't know. I don't know about that. That's interesting. I mean, it has to happen. For real. How do you sell this to the fans? I mean...
yeah. Do you delay, like, do you, at that point, I feel like if that happens, you're delaying the inevitable at that point. Like, you know what's going to happen, and you're just going to hold on to hope, like, maybe he'll turn it around,
That's what I keep saying, man. I mean, I don't know. Are we being too prisoner of the moment? Like, did the bye week just make us starving for U.S. football, so we're putting too much stock into this game now?
No, it was the way the Tampa game ended, and it's how bad the Browns looked, especially last week. And if the Browns, a team that looked that bad last week, comes into Philadelphia, and into the league, and beat into the link and beats this team by two scores, I think you gotta rip that band-aid off.
I got a question. Can they hire, like, could they just hire Belichick then?
You could if you wanted to.
All right.
You could hire
Vrabel. You could promote Kellen. I think the most realistic move would be promoting Kellen and just moving forward and then figure it out next year. But I think at that point you take stock of the situation and you say you got to move on. You feel less bad about it because the Jets just got rid of Saleh. Now everybody's like, oh, it's okay to do it now. So we weren't the first. So it's not frowned upon. But I think, like, you don't want to waste another year of Hurts. You don't want to waste another year of Lane Johnson. I think if you have these Super Bowl aspirations and you see things spiraling and getting out of control, you rip the Band-Aid off now and pray that you can fix it. Now, I know that changing coordinators last year with the Patricia Desai thing, all that didn't end well, but I think with the head coach, if his message, if, what it tells me, if you lose this game on Sunday, the message from the head coach is not resonating with the team. It's not sticking. Something's not clicking. You got to go in a different direction and try and salvage what you can out of this season. You can't just go into it every single week like, oh, we're just going to try and hope it gets better and trot our way to the end of the year. You did that last year, and you wanted to not give up on guys because Lurie hysterically doesn't fire people. And like even Chip, he waited till the last game of the year. And Andy Reid, obviously, he had the whole history. Lurie hysterically doesn't fire coaches midseason. I think this would be an instance where you have to, if Deshaun Watson and company comes in here and dices us up, and it's just you're getting booed out the stadium. It's just not a good look. I think you would have to. Conway, is Sirianni coaching for his job on Sunday?
Like, yes. Like, here's the thing. I don't really foresee him getting fired. I mean, look, two scores to this Browns team is unthinkable. Like, that's so.
It's like a 27-10 loss.
If
and they just
that lose. Happened, 27-10?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
three
you
scores.
You got to fire him. But, I don't see that happen. Say we do lose, it's not by that margin. I just don't. Like, what has an NFL team ever fired their coach midseason and won the Super Bowl? The Ravens do it at one point, like a one maybe? I don't even know. But here's the thing. If you fire him and you're giving up on, like, you're not going to win the Super Bowl then if you fire him, I don't think. Right?
I understand.
But you're not going to fire, you're not going to win the Super Bowl if you keep him then also, if that's how you feel, if you've lost that much confidence. So really, then we're just, if we fire him, we're looking ahead to next season. But then again, if you keep him after X amount of time, you're still kind of stuck there. So here's the thing. If we lose to the Browns and we fire Nick Sirianni or not, we live in hell, or at least purgatory, until the start of next year if we lose to the Browns. So I don't know if this will end his time in Philadelphia, but it will end our season effectively.
If they fire him, is that a poor reflection on what they did in the offseason? So it's like the whole process they went through in the offseason was all for naught, and we just did a poor job.
It's a
like,
complete indictment of how this team's run.
Give him one more chance thing just didn't work out.
Yeah, because you know what? It was a double whammy. For one, like the intrigue from ownership perspective and how he was like, when you bring back Nick, he's our puppet. He's the puppet master. Or we're the puppet masters. He's our puppet. Whatever. That plus the Fangio hire. Now, look, obviously I was intrigued because I'm like, you know what? They want to run this goddamn defense so badly. Go ahead, get the guy. Get the guy who started it. I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. As frustrating as it's been, I will take it, you know, because this defense was terrible last year. But, you know, they stuck to their guns. Like Conway just said, it's the way they run things here. It's a double whammy. So you're right. I mean, it's a terrible look. It's a really bad look if they fire him. But, you know, I mean, it was how – you're right. I mean, shit, do we have – more problems here than I thought, you know?
Yeah. I
like how we're acting like we've already lost the game.
Yeah, I know.
I like how
it sounds feels like it's reality. But I'm trying to put it into perspective. Like, how bad – like. Like the feeling, imagine how bad we felt like after that Tampa game, after that Seattle loss last year. Like, that would be magnified by 10 if we lose to this shit Browns team. Oh, it'd be different if, like, I'll say this, it'd be different if Deshaun Watson was benched and Jameis came in and just lit it up, because Jameis sometimes does that. And then you're like, all right, we suck, but like, we got pieced up by Jameis. But, like,
if we lose to Jameis Winston, no shame. No shame. Because Jameis Winston is a top five NFL quarterback.
And he's a good human being, from what I can tell.
In my opinion.
And he's a good human being, from what I can tell.
He is. No, but, I mean, the flip side is, what's more realistic is going to happen is we're going to win this game by, like, 10 points, maybe 15, something like that, around there. And all's right in the world. Or even better, we blow the fucking doors off him, which we should, realistically. With AJ Brown coming back.
That's what I mean. Like, is this going to be a 10 to 14 point win, or could this be 20 plus, is what we're talking about?
If we don't win by 20 plus, it's going to be because how many red zone turnovers is that going to take from Jalen Hurts? Two or three red zone turnovers from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, not to look too far ahead.
That's what I mean. This offense does move the ball. Like, before the bye week, I'm pretty
sure
Hurts was like top four in passing yards or something like that. I could be wrong, but
he's getting a red zone and nobody remembers how to do anything. Now, not to look too far ahead, Steven, we talked about this on the phone the other day. The next four games, you can easily go 4-0. Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars, heading into the Dallas game.
Oh, that's right. Jeez, this seems like forever ago.
Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars are your next four.
This is the stretch.
You can go 4-0. This is the get right stretch here.
You've got your guys back.
Man.
The excuses are kind of out the window now, right? 4 weeks in, had the bye week to regroup, had some injuries, got them back. This is the four-game stretch now where, all right, are you a contender or are you not? And what you have to do now...
We're labeled as pretenders nationally.
Get your shit together and stomp each and every one of these opponents, and then you go and you play Dallas. If you,
I was just
going
to say, man, these next five games, but you know, we'll do.
Yeah, no, Stephen always says it. It's next five because we have to stomp Dallas.
Well, because that's like the cherry on top. I think you got to win these next five, man.
Yeah, but how successful? Well, yeah. This is looking way ahead. But how successful are we going into Dallas and winning that game? Like
you have to win these next four. You got to win these next four, man.
I get it. That's my point. That's my point.
But I think these are tune-ups for Dallas. This is going to prove to me whether or not, because Dallas isn't all that hot either.
No, no.
So if we can
going into their 6-2 would be amazing.
I mean, we just don't even know what we are yet, though. You know,
especially with the Commanders breathing down our necks in the division now. Like they're the best team in the division as it currently stands. Like now, Jaden Daniels is lighting the world on fire, and now, hey, again, not to get ahead of ourselves here, but they don't look entirely bad for letting Jahan Dotson go. Like D'Ami Brown is cutting it up, Zaccheaus. They're revitalizing Zach Ertz over there.
Kind of a great move.
Washington got some things going on. And I remember when everybody, Steve, remember this when I was reporting that Cliff Kingsbury was a leading candidate to become the offensive coordinator, and everyone was like, "Oh, Cliff, we don't want Cliff. Forget that. Look what he's doing with Jaden Daniels." Not saying Kellen's bad by any means. Obviously not saying that.
Cliff was like a controversial name this offseason. Yeah. Well, I don't know
Cliff
what that
is
was
doing business with Jaden over there. But to Steven's point, there's not a lot of film out on Jaden, so. It's early and it's all this and that, but
Washington fans got mad at me because I wrote that in a blog and they like the NFC East trash talk Facebook groups. They got a hold of it.
Washington
and
being so
like,
good
wait till
the division.
NFL gets tape on him. Yeah, that's what happens to every quarterback. Like, look, he's good. I mean, Conway's the LSU guy here, but like, come on, man, he's not going to be this good the entire season. Like, let's just be honest. There's no way.
Yeah, I like Jaden. I'm a Jaden fan. But again,
or he's the
Jalen
best
Carter
quarterback
has
to ever play football.
Jalen Carter had this man airborne 2 years ago when Georgia faced LSU. Don't forget that. I will be tweeting out
hilarious.
That clip again when we get closer to that game. But all right, gentlemen, final score predictions before we put a bow on this one. Steven, I'll start with you. Conway, I will cap it off. You want to know what the spread is before?
I'm going Eagles 34, Browns 17.
Six.
What's the spread like?
How do the Browns score 17? The spread right now, the Eagles are 9-point favorites.
Nine point favorites. Yes. Should we be 9-point favorites against anybody? Really?
Again, this is more of a reflection of how bad the Browns are than
no,
anything.
Exactly. No,
and it's a reflection of AJ and Devontae coming back.
I don't know. Probably like. Maybe like 27-10.
I think that's realistic. I think that. I got 28.
If they score more than 10 points on us, there's a Jalen Hurts turnover at the start of that story for sure. If they score more than 10 points on us, but yeah, what do you think?
I got 20. I got 28-10. 28-10.
Damn, I got the most points. You guys don't think we can put a 30?
I think they put a four. All four scores include 4+ touchdowns. You just got two field goals.
Or they score 50+ and fold the Browns as a franchise.
A defensive touchdown in this one? Defensive touchdown for the Birds, do you think? Actually, let's not set our expectations too high.
I mean, you would probably have to generate a pass rush on the quarterback to do something.
We need one takeaway on defense.
One takeaway?
Yeah, we really do.
And not on a desperation heave to end the game.
All right.
Right.
Hot take. Quinyon gets his first pick this game.
No, we need it. He's had a few right in his hands. It's almost like he's tried to drop them too, by the way. He's had like two picks right in his hands.
Steven predicts that a big play Slay will make a big play on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good. Wow, you read my mind. Great
the only
one.
Touchdown the Browns score
he's
will
probably
be
gonna glaze.
Will be scored on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, actually.
No. It'll be Slay's man. He'll get burnt. Open field. CJ misses him by 10 yards.
No, you know what's going to happen? Deshaun Watson, we're going to finally play good defense against a quarterback. We're going to finally, a team's finally not going to get their Fangio tax returns. And Slay is going to have Deshaun Watson on his podcast next week. and he's going to tell fans to apologize for all their mistreatment of him. That's what's going to happen.
Slay did say today that he will be on Micah's podcast in the future, so get used to it. Get used to it.
Yeah, you know what? I am just going to pop melatonin and take edibles that entire Dallas week this year. I don't even want to. I don't care.
You might be gone. We don't know. We don't know.
I can't wait for their jersey swap after the game when they make out midway through.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is bad. I'm sorry, guys. This is bad. I can't.
I will. Look, on the podcast, sure. Just do it somewhere fucking else, okay?
And don't air it and don't publish it. You can talk to each other on the phone. How about that?
You are a grown man. You can FaceTime each other. You can do whatever you want.
Yes.
I'm also entitled to say that you're fucking dumb for doing that and that it pisses me off.
There is 31 other fucking teams in the league. You know what I mean? Just get a guy in the AFC, a team you don't see. I don't know. I'm sure Slay is boys with
Jim Harbaugh have a podcast?
Nope.
Can we get him
on
that?
He did when he was on Michigan.
Or maybe we just trade him to the Chargers for somebody.
I will say this, though.
Yeah, Joey Bosa,
at least our best defensive player, in the Cowboys, the Cowboys' best player is Micah Parsons. At least our best player
is not
that guy.
Best player is CD Lamb, then Micah
Parsons. Sure, yeah.
It's CD.
I guess.
It's definitely CD. I'm writing this tomorrow, but I did see Slay listed as a potential trade candidate ahead of the deadline. I don't think that happens.
Oh yeah,
I don't think that happens. You don't get rid of number one. He has a captain. I mean, he'll get.
Oh yeah, captain.
He's a captain. Number one. Number two. They would save immensely more money by just doing a post June 1st cut with Slay. They'll save some cap. It's the last year of his contract. No need to shake things up like that. So, but I'll be writing it tomorrow for the clicks anyway. Appreciate y'all for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by the Liberty Line. Liberty.
Are we sure this wasn't the Misery Report, guys?
Yeah, the last two. We said they're gonna win. We just gave two score predictions.
Yeah, but for the 20 minutes before we gave the prediction, we were like, "Man, what's gonna happen when we lose to the Browns by two scores?"
Is it even worth
having a football?
Yo, title the podcast that. What's gonna happen if the Eagles lose the Browns?
I'm going to say Nick Sirianni coaching for his job is going to be the title. It's going to be the title. And then 10 minutes before that, we were talking about how we spent the entire bye week hungover and depressed and drunk. So that was even better.
I'm depressed and drunk like every fucking
I don't need to be. I don't need football to be depressed and drunk. I'm perfectly depressed and drunk on my own.
Hey, at least you're not Aaron Judge in October, though.
Nah, we got Bryce Harper in October.
You're right. No, yeah, I'm.
We
Brandon
also have
Marsh.
JT Realmuto's 0-11.
Well,
I guess
the Phillies as a whole might as well just be Aaron Judge in fucking October, man.
JT Realmuto was 0-11 in that series. Boom. Yeah. I blame Aaron Kate Dolan. All right. On that note, thanks for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Follow Steven at Steven Conrad Jr. on Twitter. Follow Ryan and all of his food items and articles and other things that he writes for the website at RyanConway76. We will catch y'all on Monday as we recap plays. Praise God an Eagles win, because if it's not, that pod will be stumped. The prayers up.
I'm going to do it from the fucking Ben Franklin Bridge.
I think we should go live after the game.
Bryce Huff, bro. Bryce Huff, please sack Deshaun Watson.
The next day, of course.
If Bryce Huff sacks Deshaun Watson, I will record myself doing something heinous. So we'll figure out what that is. Not that heinous. We're like, raise your eyebrows.
You got me a little excited.
A bit there. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave review, rate 5 stars. We did get one new 5-star review. So Conway will remain employed on the pod for now. You know what the main critique was? It wasn't you.
Oh, shit. You know what? I think he's right. I think he's right. I worked it a week or two ago. He had said something to me. He's like, I didn't leave a 5-star review. I'm pretty sure I heard you say that.
Nah, it was last. As I was publishing, there was already one left. So that was.
Okay.
Okay.
If you want to leave one, Conway, on your own pod, by all means, they add up.
That new guy sounds so handsome.
That new guy sounds like Barry White on the mic. Until the next one, y'all, we'll catch you. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused
and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.